was that melody like, Kevin? Yeah, the original melody, maybe you don't listen. Is it coming out of the last phrase, it's... And sorry, it's... That's the melody. Not a big deal, just good to know the original melody.
Let's see, now we do this. This one gives me trouble. I'd like to do that again. I like it with a sharp 11. I mean, this one is trouble.
You get these chords.
So where am I?
One thing that the sledgehammer, it's not making you afraid of working the face. Well, that's harder than the guitar.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you play so many tough chords ever in front of me. My ears are so used to hearing me play 4 minor into
this. This is me.
Oh, okay.
The last thing we did was...
Okay.
Now it's me.
Cool. I like it still. It's funny how you know your own... One knows one's own idiosyncrasies.
Yeah.
Or tendencies, as it were. That's good.
See. That was like a 2.
It was like a F minor becomes a 2, and then you start the whole song over again, a major third lower, a giant step lower.
Oh,
let me turn to you, Kevin. I like what you're doing. Maybe I don't, but I'm going to be there anyway.
I think the system we used on last lesson was the most effective so far for me to be able to track what you did.
I have no idea what it was. Help me out.
Just talking, arpeggiating the chords, and then maybe some fingering input, spoken. So that I sat down with it maybe about half a dozen times, stopping it and getting it and locking it in, doing the change from the two chords that we're giving each other.
Great.
Yeah, that was real effective, so I think we should do that from now on. Too many times I've come down here and been real impressed with what you did and not been able to remember what it was. You know, just the sounds maybe were muddy on the tape or it was rushed through. And I would like to get V2 papers, or V1 papers.
V1, yeah. I knew we were going to get to it. Sound out of list of things.
That's definitely a sound I like a lot.
So are there any songs you're working on where you need my help, or do you want me to throw in your way?
Throw one my way. I was working on a tune called I'm Confessing.
Let's go through that. I love that song.
I don't really know it yet, but I kind of have the general outline in my head.
Any ideas you have so far.
I've only sat down with it a couple of times. I really don't know too much about what's going on.
What's a tune that you sat with before that you haven't finalized? Maybe we could use one of those.
I was kind of noodling around with I Got It Bad.
It's a nice tune.
Bass drops out there. I need to get more bass. That lived here for several months.
Oh. Now, my chore here, and it's not a huge chore, I look for these pages today and couldn't locate them. They've been in my file for God knows how many years. It's V1. I don't know what the hell has happened. I had to rearrange some things for a variety of reasons. It's gotta be here. There's just no way they could have walked away. One more room would do me so proud. Yeah, boy, when I left out. Just one more room.
Yeah, you're about due, I'd say. Or find a good cabinet maker and make you a house full of bookcases.
I don't want to go that route because of the dark. It's because there's so much air in here already. No, but whatever air I've got left, I want to preserve. Soon, you'll come back one time and you'll see this all be organized again. It won't look so cluttered. In the meantime... easy this seems for me to watch you absorb this while you're here a little bit will determine if I should give you X amount of material. So why don't you go through it and talk to me about it as you're discovering what it is.
Okay.
The indicators are there to tell you all the basic things you need to know about it.
Beautiful sound, I love it.
That's good, man. You have a peaceful solo. You just got a peaceful chord, just something about it that's not very distant. So, what's happening? How would you tell me to learn these if I were the student, the specifics of learning this material?
This is an E flat chord. It's a sixth chord. Fifth and the bass, 5, 6, 1, 3. The V1 group is the close spacing.
That's correct.
So we're taking an E-flat 6 chord and we're finding the closest possible spacing on adjacent strings.
That's right, adjacent strings. Hi, Jackie. What do you think about Saturday night? Are you guys going out? Would Bill be upset if you said that you needed to rehearse that night? Or? Good. All right. Okay. Right. Okay, that's what we'll do. I hope so. If I'm a tad later, I won't be real late. You know, I'll try and be 7:30. That's right. That might push me over a little bit then. With all the ones I've got accumulated. For your surrogate, Father Pepe, we have the pointed hat in place of the folded hat. Yeah, the head is swollen from all kinds of increases in hat size due to people's hair. Oh, she's done it again, folks. Date night. Have fun. Bye. So how would one memorize these chords for instant stuff, you know?
Yeah.
You've described it well. I like the way, you know, you broke it down, but now for the memorizing process.
Well, I've been finding it very helpful to think about things like you said, the minor 7 chord with the flat 7 and the bass. Visualize the top part and just plant the bottom part.
You mean minor 9? I'm hearing a
minor 9 chord.
There we go.
And so I'm thinking maybe that's a line of thinking that would work here.
It's a good thought.
Although I tend to like to plant things, you know, visualize things from the bass.
I'm sure everyone does. I'll tell you what I'd like you to do with these chords. I want you to find the easiest root, wherever it is. If it's in the chord, it still may not be easy. Like some guys, no matter that root's there, they still want that one.
Yeah, I would see
either
that
way,
one too.
As long as you can see these close ones, some root, I'll settle for wherever it is. Hello. Hi, Eric.
Yeah, I use that same root there.
It works for both of them there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I tend to go with the third string root on that lower one, but it's certainly not an essential thing.
This one?
No, for that I'm with you. I use the... Yeah, I see that one inside the chord there. I guess because I built so many other chords from that root too, you know? When a root's right inside of a chord, there are chances to build many, many chords from it.
Uh-huh.
Without using a different anchor point, yeah, for instance.
Yeah.
I'm still using that root.
Right.
And if you said dominant 7, I'd put that there, sure. But I'm still using that root. You know, although I must say with these chords, I might use the 11th fret as well. If I were already on the 11th going to that, I might see them all. But it's a lot of years of programming my head to say, third string, to then shift gears.
Yeah.
I wished it worked every time. So just some of the time.
So you resist. You resist adopting Murphy's Law.
Oh, I don't believe
you know what the masses.
I think you seem like this kind of guy to me. I have the opposite. I don't know what we'll call it. We'll come up with a slip name somewhere. Considering how many things can go wrong, it's amazing how little does. Drive down the street in your car, how many parts are moving around in there? How many are supposed to fit? Well, it has a 12,000 mile life.
Right. I mean, every day it does. How many parts are moving around in here?
Yeah, you're right.
So yeah.
Everything.
The same way, yeah, you're right. I kind of like the magic of that myself.
Okay, so cruising along through this
paper. Yeah, so this one, I can see probably one of these situations where when I'm comfortable enough with it, I'll be thinking of both, because I like that inside loop thing. I'd love to play these, you know, these V2 ones. This one is pretty easily right on the bottom. So I was kind of expecting that this would be the same thing as the logic on the V2 and V3.
I wish.
You
mean about inversion bars?
Inversions, yeah.
It won't work.
It doesn't work really.
We need Tal Farlow-sized hands.
Yeah.
Most of us weren't born that way.
Uh-huh.
You just can't stretch out, just so you know, I'm not making these things up, but we certainly won't belabor the point, but like here's G flat. Now if we try to get the major 7, it's a long way away. We can do them two-handed, mind you. Or we can do simulated version of them with chimes.
Yeah.
But straight on to go F, G flat, B flat.
Right.
That's a tough order.
You do one? Is that the one you did?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, same.
Even the dominant 7 is quite a handful.
So you have to pick all three of these and this one.
You put the major, you put like a, looks like B flat minor over G flat over that bass note. Not C minor, but B, not B minor, B flat minor.
B flat minor.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, over G flat. There it is.
Yeah.
Just a standard guitar shape.
Yeah.
There it is. Right, that's creating a sound not too dissimilar from just the close harmony one itself.
Yeah.
The dominant 7 is tough. Oh, God, that's tough. Even that dominant 7. I mean, you could cheat and get the E open there. Just even getting to the E or the F flat is real tough.
Yeah.
And you got a short scale neck. It's harder on a Fender, but no matter what scale we play, most of our hands aren't long enough to get all the inversions, unless we get up into the other register. What I try to do is find the ones that are, let's call them tier one, the stuff that should live first in our hands because it works better.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make us run from the subject. It's like we wish it could, you know, like a lot of subjects on guitar we know is going to take a long time. It's kind of scary.
Now this is the same form as that add 9 chord with a 9th in the bass. That would be the same.
Major 9 chord, right. In fact, we're going to run into it right away. What happens is, we've got the, it says 6, I mean E flat, so we found that's a 6. This is a 6. This is a 6. So this is just a passage. Using 3 of the major 6 chords. The other 6 chord is quite a handful again. I cannot make that chord. Not a tempo anyway. I'd have to really work hard.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry, that's it. Yeah. It's just too fun.
I can get the...
It does work on the tops, and some chords that don't work on the middle work on the top. If this isn't here, don't worry about that. I mean, this is just going to deal mainly with the middle. and a little bit of the bottom. When we start to get down low, some of the chords that are impossible on the lower frets in the middle strings do work rather nicely on the bottom four by crossing down there.
Okay.
Most of the close harmony chords in the bottom four are a little tubby sounding, a little too muddy, because the intervals are just, when you get them up, like that sounds pretty decent right now actually, but some amps, you start to get it up there. Even right there starts to sound just too woolly or something.
Yeah. You like these old guys too. I've got a couple of solid state amps that are pretty clear.
Yeah, solid state amps tend to be clearer.
Mm-hmm. A little noisy circuit noise.
Yeah, most amps have something good about them, you know, and maybe some disadvantage as well. It sounds like life here. Life too. So. Then as you cruise through the page, you'll see various other flat chords. You'll see add nines, thank you, and major nines. And some of those major nines are just like the sixth chord, but on a different fret. Or did I not put that on this paper? Let's see. Actually, I reserved that for page two. If you cruise through here visually, you'll see there are only a handful of shapes, maybe six at the most or something.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look too... like too much work so far, right?
Double stopping.
I mean, yeah, double stop would be great there.
These are still giving me trouble.
You're doing it though.
I'm getting it. I was thinking, I think I may need to go on a 2 month before, between this and the next one, just because of the project.
Yeah, I understand.
And if you could load me up, then that would give me things to work on my lunch breaks.
That makes sense then. This is in quadrants. You'll notice as you cruise through the paper that you've got these units of four, sections of four, groups of four.
In terms of keys?
In terms of chord forms.
Oh, I see. Okay, I see.
Like, let's play the first four chords and just take a gander at what they are. Okay, now, as you go, learn it and memorize it so you don't have to read it again. You know where I'm coming from, right?
Yeah.
So where do you see the visual root in there?
Okay.
Fifth string, yes?
Yeah.
Could you play the chord as if that visual root were being sounded as the lowest note? I mean, instead of the lower note that's presently on the board? That's right, indeed. Right, that's a chord you know about,
mm-hmm.
a D chord, and this just happens to have three in the bottom instead of one.
Yeah.
It's an easy way to focus on it.
Yeah, okay.
My feelings are we don't live long enough even if we're 110, you know, make it to Willard Scott and everything. So, we've got to learn the stuff the first time we read it off the paper.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to read it over and over.
True.
Good.
Okay.
Glad you don't resist that idea.
No, we're doing, these are all D chords. This is a D major 9 chord.
Right.
And then we're going to do that same one that was a...
you can read it again if you must. I just mean the general... Your goal should be not to read it any more than necessary.
Nine in the bass.
That's right. And where do we see the visual root on that?
That's right, good.
So what do we have so far without looking at the paper? Just looking at your hands. Could you play those two chords?
First inversion.
I mean, just play them, thank you.
Okay.
Just I want to hear the sound.
This one.
And, just the two chords we just played. That's the first one, uh-huh. Think D major 7 in the closest position, as in...
Mm-hmm.
helps put these two chords together? What is it about these two chords that helps us put them together?
Same root.
Thank you. Same visual root, exact visual root.
My next note would be root in the bass.
Maybe I didn't write it down. No, I wasn't trying to be so sarcastic as that sounds. I have a certain purpose with this exercise. Yeah, right. Good. Okay. Now all four chords. Anything significant about what's happened so far?
Lots.
Great. Anything quirky?
Well, I don't quite know what you're going for. There's
quirky,
there's some order.
Offbeat a little bit.
Let's see what I'm going to do with it.
Offbeat to your advantage, though. I mean, in your favor.
Well, it's not in this group of four. It's not following systematically where you have third in the bass, ninth in the bass, root in the bass, and then major seventh in the bass.
Let's do this. Let's learn not to expect that from V1 studies, because we won't get it.
Okay.
Not because I say so or you say it. Just the hands won't allow for it, right?
So I'm looking for some other quirk.
Yeah, something that as you play through these chords, you go, that's a nice... You're going to see it if you play them enough times. It's just going to bite you. Play them in order, like fluidly. Try to get it up to where you're playing them as a unit. And after you've done it a few times, I suspect it will talk to you. It may be too obvious, so you may not even be seeing it because it's a given to you. To me, it's quirky. You kind of alluded to it before, but it's more overt at this point. A clue. It's not about the sound, although it's lovely that sound doesn't...
A pentatonic?
No, it's not about the sound.
No. It's about the mechanics, the shapes?
Yes.
Oh, the fingers in order. There's no...
Well, that's a given with V1.
That's right.
You're going to see it. What's happened already?
Oh, I see. It's just the shapes invert.
They don't even
invert, but they alternate.
They repeat. The same two chords, and they're different names, but the same root. They're both D.
Okay.
They're all D. Everything's D.
That's right. That's right.
That's what I meant by quirky. It's a little bit quirky that that would happen on the tour like that.
Yeah. It's nice.
It makes it easier to remember.
Yeah, I did notice that right at first when I saw the shape there.
I know you did it, so I just wanted to run with it a little farther.
Yeah, that's nice.
Good. Thank you.
I've returned. They're beautiful sounds. This is it's that Debussy wash of color type of...
I agree, I like that.
Harp. Yeah.
So then the next study, it looks like this page has so much on it, but the truth is you can divide by three usually as far as how much work there's. Like this next group of four chords.
It's a still key of D.
Right, tell me what happens here that makes this a lot easier than as if... It looks, somewhat forbidding. Something about it makes it a lot easier. What is it about that, Kevin, that makes it 75% easier than it has the right to be?
Two of the shapes are the same.
How about three of the shapes are the same?
Well, from the previous...
That's right. From the previous one, we're just playing three of the same four chords.
Yeah, right.
It's as if we lopped off chord number one
uh-huh.
and just started on chord number two and just played those three.
Right.
And then at the very end, we just... Yet I still want you to practice them in fours, like they're presented here, and you'll see why later as you get used to it. There are a lot of reasons for that, actually. Good man. Yes, indeed. Some applauses do now. That's good concentration, right? You're running. I want you to do that. Take it down where you think it's gone. Right, go for major nine, and you'll have...
Right.
Now, in some settings, with your amp at a certain level, this will be too low for nine in the bass. So what I did instead of that was I switched to the bottom four, and that has nine in the bass too. But sometimes that bass string is not as loud as that fifth string, even though it should be. Then I don't end there, I go down to major 7.
Major 7.
That's it, 1, 3, 5, 7. That's a new one on the bottom four, huh?
No, I've messed around with that. I don't grab it readily.
Well, you're rare bird, man. I didn't even find that chord for many years on the bottom. It just never occurred to me to play it down there.
I've taken all the V2 stuff that was on the top set of four and the middle set and put it on the bottom.
But this is V1.
So this is V1, but the thinking follows that we would use the bottoms. It's nice.
So on the bottom four we just played.
You know, I've been thinking lately a little bit about, I go back and forth with this gauge thing, you know, experimenting. This is a custom gauge that I put together, 12, 16, 20, 28, 38, 50. But I'm feeling like...
Heavier on the bottom, lighter on the bottom?
Well, the bottom and top are fine, but I'm feeling like right in these two bass strings, maybe heavier. Why would you not go as heavy on those as you would,
I would.
On the bottom?
Well, I would.
Why not like 50, 50, 50? Or 48 or something like that?
It's a tension factor.
Yeah?
You ever tried to tune a 50 up to A? You can
make
it.
True, that's true.
But what happens is it's very tight, so it doesn't give you a lot of sideways motion, so it doesn't throw out a lot of bottom end. It'll just give you a zingy, crisp, tight thing with less bass. Now, if you had an amp that had tons of bass, that wouldn't be a problem. But then there's that pressing down the string factor.
Uh-huh.
With individual saddles, the tighter the string, the lower you can put your action without it buzzing, but there's a law of diminishing returns. We tighten it up so tight that no matter how close to the board it is, it's a little more of a struggle to push it down.
Right, right.
So you got a tone factor and a tension
factor.
There's
a line in there, because this 28 has been feeling light for me for using like a 4-note.
Yeah, I use 30, nice 30 or 32 as a minimum.
Yeah.
And then 40, 42 as a minimum here. And that's for tune to pitch. For tuning down, I go much heavier.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, when you're playing with the vocalist, are you tuned down?
Yeah,
you have to, because you're playing solo?
Just the two of us, yet I want it to sound like a string bass, kind of, or a Fender James Jameson tone on that bottom end, that nice. So that's my E. Then when I tune down to D, you know.
And what do you put on the bottom string to tune?
60 if I can find it. If I can't, I go 58.
58.
I was tuning to B at one time, and I was going for 72, but I couldn't find them without them being double wound, meaning there's a core, and then there's another wound. I mean, it's a core, a wound, and then another wound over that. And those are so quiet because they hide the core from the pickup. So, like as loud as the string is, it'd be about 40% drop in volume when you use a double wound. Mm-hmm. Looks like a bass string, real smooth.
Yeah, yeah. Is it flat wound or polished?
Yeah, half polished, half whatever. Wound. But just the fact that it's double wound, two things hiding the core, which is the magnetism, really.
Right.
I'm assuming that's why.
I experimented with flat wound strings a while back.
They feel great. I don't know if they sound great.
No clarity.
Yeah, I don't
know.
My strings go dead so fast, I might as well have flat.
Yeah, mine too. You have acidic amps? Do they kind of?
I don't know if they're that acidic. They might be. I mean, I eat lots of natural things to balance out my stock in the Mars Candy Company, but I think it's the perspiration alone. It's just all that wet.
Yeah.
Finally says, look, rain is nice once a year, but every day.
Yeah. I have to wipe my strings off every time I play because I have a lot of perspiration.
I actually don't. You always used to wipe, and then I stop. And I can use them longer.
Really?
You know what it is? It's that gunk. If I wipe it off, it's not about going dead to me. It's about going flat. I can live with them going dead because I just can't afford to change every day. But these strings, I don't know if you noticed, they go real flat.
Yeah.
But if the gunk stays on there, unless it gets oppressively just hanging everywhere, then it won't go as flat. But when you wipe it off, it's back to, say it was 0.10.
Uh-huh.
Now it's about 0.95 because you've worn metal off from playing.
Right.
And now it's flatter than it was, plus the acid has killed some of the molecules or something. So it's like you got to move the bridge forward. So if you're ever in danger, if you say, God, it's a little flat up here, don't take the gunk off. It'll go more flat.
I like that feeling of smoothness.
I do too. But what can you do, man? You're on a gig and it's like almost a half step off sometimes, and you don't realize it until you're there. You forgot to change or something.
I keep a little screwdriver with me, though.
For your intonation?
Yeah. You have a quartz tuner, so it's no big deal.
Okay. Well, I've gotten all the way out to the front of my saddle with an old string. It's been flat, and then it's like...
This guitar, the third string, almost... every set is back all the way,
yeah.
And I'm still...
And still a little sharp.
I have to compensate, you know, this third
it's
string
normal.
Is always a problem.
Third is a problem. Sixth string often is a problem. Mm-hmm. You need to move the bridges back on some Gibsons. They're just too sharp, no matter where you put them.
Mm-hmm.
And the first strings don't get sharp enough. You know, you keep wanting to move the saddle
right.
forward on
right.
a nine.
Right, right,
yeah. Perfect world. Neil, I think you'll be able to mess
yeah,
with this.
Yeah, this would be
one.
Great.
Page three. I'm going to give you the other one since you said 2 months.
Yeah.
This is really more of the same, but it's in different keys, and it starts in different places, and the forms generate themselves in a different manner.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in A flat, then if you start way up high, then uh-huh. you get the sixth chord first.
Uh-huh.
Whereas in D, we had the major nine chord over here.
Right.
Now in A flat, this would be six, six, major nine, major nine. But in D, this was major nine, six.
So this, the V1, because of the difficulty in the mechanics of it, the fingering of it, you chose to select, you know, chords that
yeah.
were pleasing to the ear rather than a logical system.
That's true. I had to do that through the years. I just would move around and adjust and find things that worked, and
right.
then you remember those.
I was wondering about that because I was trying to do some V1 stuff this last month, and I went through the book looking for those piano voicings and found
right,
some nice
right.
sounds and things.
Right.
And I could tell that there was going to be some problems, especially in the lower register with V1.
That's really something.
So just give me a taste. What's V4 look like in the sound?
Before you play. You already play. This is V4. It's
okay.
A G major 7.
Okay, 6th string.
F sharp. Let's say B flat minor 6. V4 is one of the great ones on guitar. It's practical. You can move voices inside, you can move voices in the bottom, you can move voices on top. Listen. I mean, you know, we play these chords. Guitar players all
sure,
play V4.
Sure. And then V5?
V5. Kevin's known some V5s in his life before married stipulations. No, it's not like that. Here's a B5, B5-7.
Okay,
he's played that chord.
Sure.
1-5,
uh-huh.
3-7, 5-7.
On every one of these, even though I may have played a V1 or a V2 or any of them before, I've found new ones when I've gone into your
yeah.
paper.
Once you just categorize them, then you say, hey man, I know these chords.
Yeah, I know all these, but this one, I left this one.
That's right,
reason.
That kind of thing,
yeah.
Exactly. I find these in Debussy's music a lot. He likes that.
Yeah.
He likes that. So V5.
That's right.
C sharp. E5. C sharp. C sharp. E. Like, this is a typical Debussy kind of progression.
Yeah.
It's just kind of moves.
So. How would I go about learning Debussy material for the guitar?
Figure out which pieces you love. Listen to all his music as much as you can.
I haven't done enough. Lamer.
See what parts of his pieces move you. See if they belong to a 10-minute piece where you say, maybe someday. You know, 10-minute piece is a lot of hours to process. But if it's a shorter work, he has a lot of short works. Mm-hmm. The preludes, the etudes. Tons of that stuff.
Right.
And you just fall in love with something. You say, I want to learn that. You get the music and you put it on guitar as best you can. A lot of this music will work.
The sheet music for piano?
Yeah,
and
yeah, it might help you if you run into trouble.
I'd like to do that. I love those sounds. I've loved Debussy for a long time.
Yeah, it's great. I play The Girl with the Flaxen Hair and have for many, many years. And a lot of guitar players play that one.
Can I hear a little bit of it?
Sure.
I might recognize it.
Is that sound familiar?
Yeah.
It's got all that. It goes. You get to use all your V2s and V5s. I mean, he's definitely using that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And he's doing nice modulations.
Yeah,
it wakes you up.
Uh-huh.
He treats 2 as 4. It's a nice pivot chord. You enter this chord as a 2, 5. Now it's a 4, so what key would be in D flat instead of C sharp? It goes to 5. Yeah.
Claude, where are you now? They need you in the rap community.
There's so much good music. I love Gershwin's stuff. You had mentioned Ray Charles. You were working on some Ray Charles type things.
Yeah, you know, at times I do. He just gets me, man. He really gets me where I live.
You played a line last time just in between. It was like a... something like that. It sounded real nice. It's just a little...
Thanks. So it sounds like Renee, huh? This note is the slippery one. It likes to go up. It likes to be approached from below. And it likes to go down.
It's funny though, I go in and out of it. I hadn't been working on the blues much, and then I think we talked about something, and we talked about some Emily Remler thing and mentioned blues, and you played that little line, and I go, yeah, blues, you know. Come in and out of that.
Yes, I share your feelings there. Sometimes I've gotten away from it, and I'll hear something, and I go, why aren't I practicing this stuff? This is something I love.
Yeah.
Here it is. See what I've given you before on blues.
A little bit. We were working on the jazz blues changes and soloing over that stuff. Realized that that's just going to take time. You know?
Yeah,
that's
it does.
Just playing with people.
Forms of it. Without the bass, you know, the approach chord bit, and then we worked on the stuff where you're adding the bass.
Yeah, yeah. I love to dig back into that stuff.
That stuff, thank you.
All that kind of stuff is cool. Use all that stuff when I'm playing in a duo a lot.
Is that still something that's going on a little bit? Or?
Yeah, we still get calls. We get booked. We're not really actively pumping it, but we're doing a private. We're doing 4 nights this month. You know,
that's a nice leisurely way to go.
Yeah, it's good for me. You know, I'm finding a balance in there. I was really pushing my playing to make money and get out there, and I realized that there's absolutely no way I'm going to be able to make the kind of money I make in the wood shop doing that.
And you still love working with wood.
I do love working with wood. So this last year has been a nice break for me to play a lot of music, dig in, feel like a guitar player again.
Sounds healthy the way you're looking at it.
But I'm getting back into, you know, doing things in the shop, which is satisfying. A lot of guitar work and things too. So the gigs come along and they're fun. I'm real hungry to play. We're playing the Fiesta del Sol Saturday. Charlie Wizzery's playing with me.
That's nice.
Quartet with bass and drums. And we'll have a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of people up there in the harbor.
That'll be great.
Yeah, do a lot of loud stuff. We'll play the nylon string.
Some white boys playing Tamale music.
Leave it now. I can leave it.
That's right. That's right. He's real good with that song.
Oh yeah. This will give me some stuff to work on.
As far as the solo tune, what I can do, just because time, you'll never make it through. I got a bat tonight. A few suggestions. Check out the melody. I think when you go back to the original melody, you hear a few different notes.
Yeah, it does go up an octave. Can you take liberties with that, though?
Sure. But I wouldn't do it every time, or it sounds like you're not sure what... It sounds like to a guy who loves the tune, who's grown up with it, that you're not aware of that. But maybe one time, then I said, well, he's messing around. I like it, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That would be nice to go up there.
So what I'd like to do instead is give you something that's already printed as a solo guitar.
That'd be great. And, something to work on over the couple months.
Yeah.
Let's find an appropriate one.
I love this chord.
Dominant or 13 right there?
A 13 is how I've been thinking of it.
So you've got 13 on top, and are you singing from the fifth string, the root tone?
No. Sixth string.
You mean way down next to that last finger?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Suggestion, my man. You're calling that, boy, don't tell me. F13, okay. Now what I want you to do, play your standard F13 with the root and the bass right there.
This?
Right. Notice how much of the sound that we really hear jumping off the neck the most is in that chord. All you have to do is see visually how far away to put these fingers, and this lines it up with your
that's
the
true.
One you're already... That replaces the chord that you would...
You'd see that...
There's not a 13 here, excuse me, on the 6th string that you play that has this note on top that doesn't just cut across here.
Right.
This one comes back here and looks like that other one.
Yeah, there's that. Are you aware of Eric Johnson's stuff?
He's a fantastic guitar player. I'm not involved in loving the music that he makes at this point, to be honest. I hear it and I don't love it, but I'm very impressed by him as a player. He's so precise.
Range,
so,
though. I mean, the
you mean
styles.
As far as styles? Yeah.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of
styles
to range, and his finesse is uncanny, man. He's so clean.
We saw him a couple months ago.
Oh, did you? Up there?
Ventura,
yeah, I heard that he was going to be up there, and a lot of guitar players were going to go see him.
Yeah, it was amazing. He moved through